Thank you for invitation. And now we're going to turn to Ephesians and chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and reading at verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, which who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. I've been thinking today, not in this room, but upstairs. It must be 80 years ago I first went upstairs. We lived not so far from here at that time. We lived in Aiken Place in Leven. Then we lived on the road where the East Fife Football Park was next to us. In fact, we looked over into Bayview. So it's a long time ago that we first entered into this building, upstairs, not here. But it's the same gospel that I possibly heard as a child in those days, those 80 years ago. That very possibly the man of you here, except maybe Ian. But he would possibly be there. But he wouldn't know me then. He'd be a wee boy as well. But so we have this opportunity of coming back into the Gospel Hall in Inner Leven to tell us something of the great Gospel message concerning God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what I've read tonight is a word from the Lord concerning those who were saved. Those who had come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It was written to Christians, but it tells us concerning what they were before they became a Christian. They lived in that city called Ephesus. Ephesus, a place that was well known in that day, a Roman city, a place in the province of Asia, a place that was quite near to the sea, a place where people came, but there in that city of Ephesus, so long ago, in the first century, there was a temple, and that temple was erected to Diana of the Ephesians, and there were those who went there to worship in that temple at Ephesus. But one day, a wee preacher came, and he came into that city, and he only stayed a little while, and then he came back, and he stayed in that city for 2 years. And that little preacher was called Paul the Apostle, and he came with a message concerning the Lord Jesus. He came with a message concerning that sinners like the folks in Ephesus who went to worship at the temple of Diana, that they might hear a message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And into that city, as he began to preach, and as he began to make known concerning the Lord Jesus, there is opposition. And oftentimes, that when the gospel of God's grace is made known, and the preacher takes his time to stand out yonder in the streets and make the message known, there's opposition. But not only did Paul make his message known in the streets, as he made it known to the people of the town and the city of Ephesus, there were those who would oppose, and they would come out and they would cause a riot. Great is Diana of the Ephesians, and a riot took place. But Paul had to also, he not only preached in the streets, he preached in the school of Tyrannus, and he also preached in the homes of the people. But he had one message, and that message was concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, in Ephesus, there were those who turned and got saved. And we've read here, at verse number 1, and you are he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. He brings those people back to think about what they were before they became a Christian. And I want to say tonight that every one of us has a past. What we were. I've mentioned I came into this building upstairs 18 years ago. A past. And over those years, from time to time, came into the building upstairs and downstairs. A past. But a past, as the Ephesus, these Ephesian believers, they were once dead in trespasses and in sins. The Bible teaches me this: all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None is exempt. All have sinned. There were times I went to my uncle's in Rose Street. There was one occasion with my cousin, we went to the Bethel on the High Street to Sunday school. And we learned, and I trust my cousins learned, that they were dead in trespasses and in sins. And we have to learn that. I'm a sinner. I love the old hymn in our hymn book here. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. And the Bible does say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's only sinners that the Lord Jesus comes to save. And it's only sinners that get saved. And we realize this, that we need to admit I'm a sinner in God's sight. There was an old lady lived in the street that my grandmother lived in Lahore. And she would say to us as we went in that street, "You're only a sinner." And I want to tell you, it wasn't light when that old lady would tell us, "You're only a sinner." That's what we are tonight. We're a sinner by nature, and we're a sinner by practice. And the apostle has to remind those Christians that you were once dead in trespasses and in sins, and you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, our manner of life. And that still applies to everyone who's not a believer. That is the place that they occupy. A child of disobedience. Later on, a child of wrath. To think of what they were, they walked according to the course of this world. What we do without Christ as our Saviour, it is the natural, normal thing to do. But when one trusts the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, what a change. What a change. My old Bible class leader in Bethany Hall, and George will know him well, John Laurie, got saved before we got saved. George and I, before we ever came to know Christ as our Saviour, that John Laurie got saved. And he went down into Cross Hill, into the billiard room, and he went to there and he said to those in the billiard room, "My old companions, fare ye well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. Will you go?" And he walked out and was never back in that billiard room again. That's where his companions were. That's where he was, over the billiard table, playing his billiards. But he got saved. And he says, "I once was a child of wrath. That's the way I used to walk. That's the way I used to go. That was my manner of life. But God saved me. And I will not go with you to hell." Well, I know what somebody used that word the other day. And some folks have got a wee bit hot under the collar about him using that word. But realize this, we are either on the road to heaven or are we on the road to hell. And the scripture says here, we were walking in the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? Satan himself. The old devil himself, controlling. And whether if we are not saved, we're being controlled by the very power of the Spirit, of the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself. He says, "That's what you were. That's your past." But a big change took place. And so as we look into these verses, it says we were once the nature of the children of wrath, even as others. Into that city of Ephesus the little preacher came with a powerful message, and he says, "But God." Well, that's a lovely expression. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. There's a wonderful change that takes place. But God, it's not so long ago we were thinking about the Normandy landings, when the forces of Britain's armed forces landed on the beaches at Normandy, when it should have been stormy weather. It was relatively calm, and people have looked upon it of the finger of God, but God quietened the weather. But here is something. Here is a change in the lives of those Ephesian people. But God, who is rich in mercy. And I want to think with you for a second of the riches of God's mercy. For our whole salvation is here ascribed to the mercy of God. Who said that? John Calvin. He said that in his day. Here is our salvation. Here it is ascribed to the mercy of God. God's mercy. Oh, listen to our David. In Psalm number 4, verse 1, he says, hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Now, why did David cry to God for mercy? He had a son who was rebellious. He had a son who had usurped the throne. He's a son who had taken counsel with others, and David had to flee. And in fleeing, David penned that lovely psalm, Psalm number 4. And in it he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, I'm in distress. And it's only when we are in distress that we look for mercy. It's only when we are in distress that we would call upon the Lord. For mercy has chiefly to do with acts rather than words. And David is calling to God for mercy. There's more than David called for mercy. There was a woman in Matthew chapter 15. And she had a daughter who was not well. And she came to the Lord Jesus. And she came and she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil, with a demon. And she was concerned about her daughter. And she cries to the Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. But it's more than her. There was a blind man. He's outside yonder at Jericho. And as he hears the crowd passing by, he asks who's passing by. And they tell him, Jesus of Nazareth. That man cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. If David cried for mercy because of a rebellious son, or the woman cried to the Lord for mercy because of a demon, a girl, a daughter who was vexed by a devil, a demon, if the blind man cried to God for mercy, cried to the Lord for mercy, is because he needed eyesight. Couldn't go to John. He needs the Lord. He needs his sight. Lord, that I might receive my sight, he cried out. But he wasn't the only one who cried for mercy. This is Solomon. The man in Luke 16 cried for mercy. too late. Too late. He cried, "Father Abram, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Where is he? He's in hell. He died. He's in a place of torment. In the crematorium in Kirkcaldy, I sat and listened to a minister conducting the service of someone I knew. A man I'd worked alongside as a painter and decorator. And outside in the car park, I caught up with the minister. And I said to him, "What you said in there is not the man I knew." He was not a Christian. He was not a believer. And I'll never forget what the minister said. "Do you want me to tell the people he's gone to hell? Listen, friend, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ came that we might get saved. That we might know our destination is heaven for sure. That we might know the Lord Jesus Christ is our own and personal Saviour. And those of us who are saved tonight can look back to a time when, in a place where, in a manner how, we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And we can thank God. It was there. It was then. I came as a guilty sinner and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And we can thank God for a day when we heard the gospel and we believed it. Only a sinner, saved by grace." So the multitude, the magnitude of God's mercy, even when we were dead in sins. Same word in verse 1. Trespasses. Same word. Trespasses. "We were dead in trespasses. Hath quickened us together. For by grace are ye saved." Oh, it's good to be saved. There was a brother in this assembly, Jim Smith. Wee Jim. Many a time in Metal Hill, in the Wee Gospel Hall, it was there in Metal Hill, I heard Jim preach. And he would often say, as he put his wee on the wee table on the platform, "It's good to be saved. It's good to be saved." Dear friend, let me ask you the question tonight. Are you saved? By grace are ye saved, the scripture says, and that not of yourselves. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus alone. You know, this word "saved" occurs time and again in our Bible. Sometimes in our English Bible we get the word "made whole" in relation to someone who's been diseased. The woman who had that issue of blood for 12 years, she said, "If only I may come along and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." And she came in the crowd behind him. And as she came behind the Lord Jesus, and she reached forward, and she got down, and she gripped and she touched the hem of his garment. He said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "You see the multitude, you see the throng, and you ask, who touched me?" He says, "Virtue went out of me, and she came." And the old hymn writer says, "She came with fear and trembling." And she came, and she confessed. And the Lord said, "Daughter, thy faith hath saved thee." Good gospel message. Good gospel verse. Thy faith. "Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free." The saving power, this very hour. And that you can have it tonight. It's only but a touch, the touch of faith that the woman had. "I shall be saved," says the Young's translation. "I shall be saved." And it's only that touch of faith tonight can put and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You remember, there was a jailer one day. He's asleep. And there's two preachers in the prison. And what do we read? They have been beaten. They've been cast into the inner prison. And there they start to pray. And praise. And preach. They began to praise. And the scripture says the prisoners were listening. They listened to two preachers, bleeding backs, praising God. They've been praying. The jailer comes in and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Oh, it's good to be saved. It's good to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. And so we've read this evening that God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. He has quickened us together. By grace are we saved. But he's doing more than that. He raises us up and causes us to be seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. He brings us to a place of blessing. Oh, don't you desire to be saved tonight? To know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. We sung tonight in one of the hymns in the chorus concerning God's mercy and God's grace. And I thought, well, George, you didn't know what I'm going to speak on. And it's in the verses I was going to read. By God's mercies and by God's grace. And what is grace? God's grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. Grace. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. We sung tonight, "Free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has died, and there is remission." Yeah, it's not by law keeping. It's not by good works. It's not by doing anything that we can do. It's all what Christ has done, and rest upon what he did at Calvary. By grace are we saved. Through faith in the Lord Jesus. It was a Sunday afternoon. We were out tracking house to house in a village in central Trinidad. And we just got to a particular house when the heavens opened and down came a tropical storm. We got into that house and we stood on the gallery of that house. And there for almost an hour we were there, 4 or 5 of us, speaking to the people concerning the Lord Jesus. Just as we were going to finish, after an hour or so, the rain stopped. We thought, well, it's time we should make our way back homeward. And they said, let's sing a song, let's sing a hymn before we leave. And I said, let's sing Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. You see, folks in that house, we learned, were trying to keep the law in order to be saved. And we finished singing the first verse in the chorus, and we got chased. Get out! You see, it's something that Christ has done, not something that we can do in order to merit God's salvation. So tonight, I want you to think about this, because when God saves us, we read these words, for we are His workmanship. So not only do we get through God's mercy and God's grace, God's salvation, but away back yonder in eternity, fellow believer, God knew, God chose, elect, but He purposed what we would do after we were saved. We are His workmanship. We are His poem. We are His poem. And the Lord wants to use us, but He can't use us if we are not His. In closing, Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the assurance of salvation. If thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What about tonight, friend? Those of us sitting here can look back to a time when, in the place where, in a manner how, we trusted Christ as our Saviour, and thank God for it. But tonight, are you saved? Or are you still dead in trespasses and sins? A child of disobedience, a child of wrath, a person who is still controlled by the prince of the power of the air? Or will you tonight submit and trust to Christ as your Saviour? Then all will be well, that you might know Him as your Saviour and as your Lord. Why not tonight? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing one hymn, and our meeting is over. But tonight, will you trust Christ as your Saviour? Will you do it now? Our Father, we bow before Thee again in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might have all the honour and all the glory, that sinners might can come before Thee tonight and confess, I'm the sinner for whom Christ died. may receive him. As many as receive him, the scripture reminds us, to them gave he right to be called the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. May it be so, that someone tonight will come to know him as their Saviour and confess him as their Lord. We give thanks in his precious name. Amen. We'll keep our seats and we'll sing one verse of a hymn, number 124. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled, God is coming very near. 124, just the first verse and the choruses. Keeping our seats.